Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, the Democrat backbiting here continues. The Democrats are now admitting that the Democrat Party was too focused on diversity and elites. Recent data from a progressive group shows that even voters who previously backed Democrats cast the party as weak and overly focused on diversity and elites. And you know who's focused on diversity and the elites? Rich people. Rich people in the United States who live in big cities on the East Coast and the West Coast, which is why I was saying yesterday the Democrat Party is basically a small regional party relegated to rich folks on the in big cities on the coast. Remember, there was a piece on the Sunday shows about the most Republican precinct and the most Democrat precinct. The most Democrat precinct in the 2024 election was in Hyde Park out of Chicago, Illinois, and it was like 96% for Kamala Harris. The median income there is over $100,000, and what you also see there is a majority of the people have graduate degrees. Okay, the most Republican precinct was a small precinct in West Virginia where literally nobody had a college degree, and the median income was like $30,000, and it was like 95% Trump or something like that. So the data is there. The Democrat Party is the party of the rich elites on the coast. The Republican Party is a multiracial working class party. And so what you see, though, is then now you've got within the Democrat Party, this is so much fun. And this is going to be really fun to watch happen in Montana as the Montana Democrat Party attempts to rebuild. What are they going to do? Are they going to go crazy left woke, or are they going to try to be more moderate? Tim and Savage sent a message on the Montana Talks app, which, by the way, if you want to send a message to me on the Montana Talks app, you can do so. I'll read it. Or you can call in. We've got open phones, 406-294-0970, whatever you want to talk about. Whatever message you want to get out there, you can call in right now. Tim and Savage says, Tim from Savage invites you to join him at any of the four conservative Bible-based churches he serves. Merry Christmas, all. I didn't know there was four of them. That's awesome, Tim and Savage. Yeah, I think you see a lot more luck in finding Bible-based churches in places like Savage. But, you know, what do I know? What do I know? Senator Daines actually had a pretty good run here the last couple of weeks. Three Daines outdoors bills passed the United States Senate. Daines released this statement here, looks like late Friday. U.S. Senator Daines announced the Gateway Community and Recreation Enhancement Act, the SOAR Act, and the Forest Flexible Housing Partnerships Act. All three of them are going to the president for signature. We can get into some of the specifics on those three. Plus, I haven't even gotten to some of my favorite stories about appliances and things like that. Lots to talk about. We'll be right back.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly sunny today. High near 48. Tonight, the clouds move in with a slight chance of seeing some rain develop in late. Low near 33. High near 48 on Christmas Day. Lots of clouds. Occasional sun. Slight chance of seeing some rain early in the day. Wednesday night, clear to partly cloudy. Low near 27. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz. The House ethics report on Matt Gaetz released yesterday is devastating. The report says he regularly paid women for sex, including an underage girl, one who was 17 years old, and also used illegal drugs on multiple occasions like cocaine and ecstasy, accepted lucrative gifts, including a trip to the Bahamas. He was uncooperative and knowingly and willfully sought to impede and instruct the committee's investigation of his conduct. Gaetz also misused House resources when he had his chief of staff assist a woman with whom he engaged in sexual activity in obtaining a passport, falsely stating to the State Department that she was a constituent. Now, Gaetz says, I was charged with nothing, fully exonerated, not even a campaign violation, and the people investigating me hated me. If he was still in the running for attorney general, this would have blown him out of the water. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
David Noble, guest host for Aaron Flint. Super excited to have a live show December 24th and the 30th and the 31st. Aaron's got another great guest host coming in on the 26th and the 27th. But you might think this would be a slow news period, folks, but there is a lot going on, a lot to talk about. We'll have phone lines open the entire time. If you want to find me online, you can find me on X at LectureFan, LCTRFAN, on YouTube and Twitch at LectureFan, too. David Noble with a K, guest host for Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, folks, there's some big news here out of Montana. I don't think this has been reported anywhere in the media, but I was made aware of a letter from some Montana senators to the State Bar of Montana. This is coming from Senator John Fuller, Senator-elect Matt Regeer, Senator Jason Ellsworth, Senator Ken Bogner, Senator Barry Usher, Senator-elect Sue Vinton, Senator-elect Vince Ritchie, and then who else do we have on here? Senator-elect Bob Phelan, Senator-elect Tony Tizak, Senator Forrest Mandeville, Senator Becky Beard, Senator Shelley Vance, Senator Butch Gillespie, Senator Daniel Emmerich, Senator Teresa Manzella, and Senator Carl Grimm, Greg Hertz, Jeremy Tribus, and Mike Cuff have sent a letter to the State Bar of Montana regarding a recent seminar that the State Bar of Montana put on. The letter talks about how in April of this year, the State Bar sponsored a CLE panel called Portraits and Courage, Unpopular Causes and Representing the Unrepresentable. Panel was moderated by Montana Supreme Court Justice McKinnon, featured various Montana attorneys and a retired Billings District Court judge. And what they mention in the letter here is that in the course of this presentation, one of the lawyers there called a recent Montana Supreme Court decision a quote-unquote piece of blank. Also labeled laws that Republicans have enacted just pieces of garbage that should be stricken, called the current Republican governor sexually inappropriate name. And then there was the letter goes on, and then it accuses the court of being partisan. It references the history with the redistricting commission. And then it goes on to talk about how you've got here at an official state bar event, a fully licensed attorney literally calling the Montana Supreme Court decisions pieces of blank. And then this letter points out how this really hasn't, how are you going to go after Austin Knutson for saying that the Supreme Court was a little bit biased, but not go after this attorney for calling their decisions pieces of blank? But we'll see. I mean, from my perspective, I actually would very much appreciate some clarity and guidance on what's allowed and what's not allowed. Because if what Austin Knutson had said and then is not allowed, but what this attorney said is allowed, and you're allowed to say that the Montana Supreme Court decisions are you can swear about them, you can call them names, you can issue vulgarities, you can make sexually inappropriate comments about the decision. That's all fine, but what Knutson did isn't. Where's the line? What's allowed? What's not allowed? The lack of clarity here you know, I think is a big problem. We do want to get to the six household appliances that have been attacked by Joe Biden. But I did want to go through these three bills that Senator Daines is celebrating getting passed. Several bipartisan outdoor bills are going to Joe Biden for signature. They support gateway communities, address challenges facing national parks, streamline the process for issuing special recreation permits, address housing needs. Senator Dane says, quote, "I'm proud to see my bipartisan bills pass the U.S. Senate and head to the president's desk to be signed into law. This package includes major wins for Montana's beautiful public lands, and I'll always keep fighting for more ways to protect our outdoor way of life," said Daines. So the Gateway Community and Recreation Enhancement Act supports gateway communities and addresses challenges facing national parks, boosting visitation at lesser-known parks, recreation areas. The bill, co-sponsored by Senator King, also led by Representative Zinke in the House, Senator Dane says, "Montanans know how important our gateway communities are. Supporting the areas around our beautiful national parks and public lands is critical to Montana's economy. I'll keep working to get this bill across the finish line." He said that back in May before this actually passed. The SOAR Act is the Simplifying Outdoor Access for Recreation Act, streamlines the process for issuing special rec permits. Because Montana has a checkerboard land ownership pattern, each federal land agency has a separate permitting process. Guides and outfitters often have to go through multiple departments and permitting processes just for one trip. So this will actually increase access and support small businesses. And then the Forest Flexible Housing Partnership Act reauthorizes a program that allows the Forest Service to lease existing underutilized admin sites to address housing needs of rural communities. So a little victory lap there for Senator Daines. Meanwhile, here's some good news. Trump is going to reverse all of Joe Biden's climate agenda. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. This is a Fox News story talking about the Biden administration tightening efficiency standards for our household appliances. And then, of course, Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm has been one of the absolute worst secretaries of energy that I've ever seen. But okay, check this out. Here's the problem with these, with overall, right? Number one, it's unconstitutional. There's nothing in the Constitution that says the federal government has the power to regulate washing machines. Okay, go look at Article 1, Section 8. Go look at Article 1 of the United States Constitution, Section 8. You know what Congress can do? Congress can create bankruptcy laws. Congress can coin money. Congress can create post offices. Congress can have an army and navy. You know what it doesn't say? They don't get to tell me what kind of light bulbs I have and what kind of washing machines I have. Anyway, we'll get into some specifics, because these things that the Democrats are doing on these household appliances, it's actually hurting poor people the most, because these new appliances are very expensive and they also don't work very well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
As we march ahead through the 2020s, perhaps it's time to cast back 15 years and see where we thought things were going back then. Montana State University's Project 2030, published in 2010, took a look at where trends in population and demographics were taking Montana. Had the broad conclusions of that study been more closely read and heeded, some of the loud debates taking place today over things like housing and property taxes might be a bit quieter. The MSU's economists projected a future for Montana where demographic trends delivered a population of taxpayers that was increasingly asset-rich and income-poor, taken at a time when pressure on state budgets from things like pensions and Medicaid were pushing up the need for revenue. That made dependence on a property tax, levied against the value of property, but paid for out of income, more and more problematic. The years that have followed the report have borne out the wisdom of those projections. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Singer-songwriter SZA has released the deluxe edition of her 2022 album, SOS, subtitled Lana. She previewed the album with a video for the song Drive, featuring actor Ben Stiller. The album features collaborations with Kendrick Lamar, Benny Blanco, and more. SZA and Lamar are scheduled to tour together in the new year. Australian house music DJ Dom Dalla is breaking records. MSP sold over 170,000 tickets across four cities, making it the largest ever tour by an Australian electronic artist. The DJ is scheduled to headline the Palm Tree Music Festival in Aspen, Colorado in February. Dom Dalla will then take the stage at Madison Square Garden in New York for two shows, March 7th and 8th. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Good Christmas Eve and blessings to all of you here today as we prepare to gather with family and friends. I know all those good little boys and girls that have worked so hard to get on Santa's nice list are eager for his arrival on this Christmas Eve. And some very good news out yesterday from the Montana Department of Livestock, who has received a certificate of veterinary inspection for Santa's reindeer. And those reindeer are cleared for arrival on rooftops and lawns across Montana for Christmas. Just like livestock and pets, Santa's reindeer are also required to meet movement requirements when crossing state and international lines. Fortunately, Rudolph and the entire reindeer team received a clean bill of health from the Alaska State Veterinarian's Office, having met all disease certifications and identification requirements. They passed that information on to Montana health officials. And Montana State Veterinarian Dr. Tani Szymanski reviewed the health certification and issued the required import permit number for toy delivery. And while Santa may have some weather to deal with in other parts of the United States and across the globe, things look pretty good on the weather front as Santa begins to make his journey across Montana. I would just like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I had that Texas AG story lined up for yesterday and never got to it. Luckily, there was just that Fox News update here at the top of the hour. But this is a story that I had. Women's volleyball star has a message for the NCAA after Texas Attorney General sues the NCAA over trans inclusion in women's sports. What a turn of events this is. What was it just, how many years ago was that the NCAA was wielding power and authority over states and forcing states to have trans players in whatever sport they wanted? And otherwise, the NCAA was going to take away this and take away that. And then you had all these states sort of bow down and kowtow to the NCAA and do whatever they wanted on trans. And now they're getting sued. They're getting sued for fraudulent, deceptive. This is so wonderful to have Ken Paxton in Texas. What a great attorney general, second only to Attorney General Austin Knutson. But this is a, you know, Austin Knutson has actually used similar statutes. I can't remember on specifically what, but this deceptive and unfair trade practices acts that most states have that basically prohibit businesses and organizations from engaging in deceptive, fraudulent, unfair trade practices, including, you know, false lying about your product, things like that. And you see that a lot. Frankly, this goes back actually to the free speech issue with social media. Back in the day, a couple of years ago, I remember making the argument that the state AGs should be suing the social media companies for false and deceptive trade practices, because the social media companies had basically grown to their size and become as large as they are by promising to consumers that they would be fair platforms, that they were free speech platforms, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that people would be treated fairly and in good faith, and that they weren't biased, and all of these sort of representations, both direct and implicit, that the social media companies made to get to where they are. Of course, nobody would have joined, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at the outset if they had come out and been honest at the outset and said, hey, we're a Democrat social media group. If you join Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or what have you, or YouTube for that matter, you know, we're gonna use these platforms to push partisan Democrat policies. We're going to use this to censor conservatives. If you offer a conservative opinion we don't like, we'll ban you. They would have never grown to the size that they grew to. And of course, in social media, critical mass size is one of the most important factors in a successful social media program. And so they really did. These social media companies really did engage in false and deceptive acts and practices in order to get to where they are by pretending to be these fair, you know, nonpartisan websites. And so I used to think, hey, there's an opportunity to use that act against the social media companies. Now the Texas Attorney General is using it against the NCAA. And I think it makes perfect sense. It's like, well, hold on, NCAA. You cannot go around advertising and promoting women's sports. And then when people show up to watch and they're there to see women's sports, there's a bunch of dudes playing. That's false advertising. That's deceptive. That's a false trade practice. And so I think he's spot on. You know, San Jose State women's volleyball star Brooke Slusser warned the NCAA after the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed a lawsuit against the organization over transgender inclusion in women's sports. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed the lawsuit Sunday, accusing the org of deceptive marketing practices for allowing transgender women to compete against females. this is why it's like when Aaron refers to biological males and biological females, and then people call in and are like, you don't have that. That's redundant. That's unnecessary. You don't have to say biological male or biological female because that's already what they are. But then you read something like this and it's like, deceptive practices for allowing transgender women to compete against females. It's like, okay, kind of need to throw in some markers here for us to kind of basically what it is men and women's sports. Paxton said in a news release that the NCAA violated the Texas Trade Practices Act, which exists to protect consumers from businesses attempting to mislead or trick them into purchasing goods or services that are not as advertised. And so, yeah, the NCAA going around advertising women's sports. Hey, we have women's sports. Come show up to women's sports. And then you're like, oh, okay. I like women's sports. I'll go support women's sports. And then you show up and it's a bunch of dudes playing. That is a deceptive trade practice. Slusser, who's part of a lawsuit against her own school and the NCAA for allowing a transgender woman on the Spartans roster this season, posted on social media about Ken Paxton's suit. And she's got a couple of good quotes here. We'll get to that. Plus, open phones, 406-294-0970. Call in whatever you want to talk. What Slusser said. She said, hey, NCAA, just in case you haven't realized yet, this fight will just keep getting harder for you until you make a change. And so good for her. Good for her. Good for the Ken Paxton, the AG out of Texas. Paxton has accused the NCAA of engaging in false, deceptive, misleading practices by marketing sporting events as women's competition, only to then provide consumers with men playing the sport, biological males competing against biological females. Why don't they just do that? Why don't the Democrats just do that? Just say, hey, we want to have sports where men play against women. Let's have a women's soccer team play against a men's soccer team, or let's have mixed sex teams play against mixed. Why don't Democrats just be honest about it? Just come out with it. Instead, they've engaged in this sort of deceptive and fraudulent activity. Ken Paxton goes on. The NCAA is intentionally and knowingly jeopardizing the safety and well-being of women by deceptively changing women's competitions into co-ed competitions. When people watch a women's volleyball game, they expect to see women playing against other women, not biological males pretending to be something they're not. Radical gender theory has no place in college sports, unquote. So the thing that I find just so amazing about that story is just how far the pendulum has swung. We all know the pendulum swings, but did we know it was going to swing that far? I swear, how long ago was it that the NCAA was bullying places like Montana to accept men and women's sports? I want to say that was just literally like a year, maybe two ago, that the NCAA was going around to states telling, hey, we're going to take away your TV rights. We're going to take away your home games. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. And now look, now they're getting sued. The other big takeaway is, number one, just how big that swing is, and what a wonderful change we've had. And people talk about, hey, it's, you know, we don't have a lot of success. We do have a lot of successes. This is one of them. Obviously, the election results are one as well. But the other thing that's sort of an interesting takeaway from this is conservative use of litigation, strategic litigation, using the court systems to our advantage. You see this a lot with the America First Legal Foundation by Stephen Miller. They were actually the ones that got, if I recall correctly, America First Legal Foundation, Stephen Miller's group, obviously Trump's one of his top advisors, they actually were the ones that got affirmative action struck down. They were the ones that have sued. You know, there's all these businesses out there in the corporate world that had all of these different programs and internships specifically for one racial group, but not the other racial groups. I mean, these Democrats were engaging in blatant racial discrimination, saying, hey, we've got an internship, but only for certain races. You know, America Legal First Foundation sued and won. I think Ken Paxton is going to win this lawsuit against the NCAA. That's just kind of my gut reaction. I'm no expert on it, but this is good. We need conservatives using strategic litigation like this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
One of my favorite things is when Donald Trump talks about how these new appliances are so terrible, and how you got, you know, these low water usage shower heads. You try to take a shower and there's just like a little trickle coming out. This is going to be a wonderful aspect of the incoming Trump administration, is finally we can have whatever appliances we want again. Is this even America anymore when the federal government in D.C. is telling you what kind of washing machine you can handle? This is so outrageous. I don't know how this ever was allowed to happen. So there was a piece in Fox News about six household appliances that have taken heat from Biden's crackdown on regulations. And again, yet again, these leftist policies hurt the very people they're supposed to help. Although, I guess technically these regulations are not supposed to help people. These are supposed to help animals and trees, I guess. So maybe the Democrats don't care that all these climate regulations are harming the low-income people of this country. Hey, Democrats out there, do you guys care that all of your climate laws and climate regulations are harming the lowest income people in this country? The poorest of the poor are being hurt the most by all of these climate change and global warming policies. You Democrats care about that? No, we don't care. We just want green energy, and we want washing machines that don't wash your clothes. And they do these studies. These Democrats will put in a regulation on your dishwasher, for example, and they'll say, okay, we don't like these dishwashers. They use, 10 gallons of water. We're going to have a new dishwasher, and it's only going to use 6 gallons of water, or uses less electricity, whatever it is. And then what happens is it doesn't work, for one. It's more expensive and it doesn't work. And then what people end up doing is running it twice to get it to work. And so it actually ends up backfiring. Anyway, so the Biden Department of Energy introduced a rule imposing stricter energy standards for residential clothes washers, washing machines, and dryers. Less efficient models of washers and dryers are banned. The federal government banned certain washers and dryers. The department projected the energy standards would save American households billions of dollars a year on utility bills while reducing millions of tons of dangerous CO2. First of all, CO2 is not dangerous, you jerks. CO2 is literally a fundamental building block of life and is naturally occurring in our atmosphere and is literally plant food. Plants need CO2 to live. If you got rid of CO2, we'd all die. I can't believe they're calling CO2 is dangerous now to Democrats. That's what this Fox News article says, is that the Biden administration says that CO2 emissions are dangerous. A Biden administration people out there, plants need CO2 to live. Ever heard of photosynthesis? It's called photosynthesis. They need CO2. It's not dangerous. Anyways, the Association of Home Appliance Manufacturers said that the Biden administration's washing machine regulations would actually have a disproportionate negative impact on low-income households because it eliminates the cheap washing machines from the market. So when the Biden administration, these Democrats are saying, hey, we're banning washing machines. We're banning this washing machine. We're going to ban that washing machine. We're going to ban that washing machine. We're going to ban this washing machine. And you have to now buy this other washing machine that we want you to buy. Well, all the ones that they banned are all the cheapest ones on the market. Oh, my word, this is so bad. Refrigerators and air conditioning. The Biden administration put into place a rule to ban certain types of fridges and air conditioners that don't use as many hydrofluorocarbons, and a second rule to manage hydrofluorocarbons in existing products. The rule was going to phase out hydrofluorocarbons by 2036, but manufacturers predicted the regulation would increase prices by 20% for fridges and air conditioners. So again, it's like, do the Democrats not realize that all of this stuff harms Americans? This hurts us. And not just low-income Americans, not just poor Americans. This hurts all of us. I don't want to have to buy a more expensive dishwasher. All you folks out there that aren't low income, that aren't poor, you guys don't want to have to buy a different washing machine or a different fridge or a different air conditioner because Joe Biden and the Democrats told you to. This is, it hurts everybody. Gas stoves, and this one, of course, has gotten a ton of media attention because it's just so outrageous. The Kamala Harris, the Joe Bidens of the world, the John Testers, the Montana Democrat parties of the world, they believe in banning gas stoves, period. Don't ever let them lie about it. In February of 2023, the Biden administration issued a proposal to target gas stoves. Under the proposal, the federal government was going to ban the future sale of gas stoves that consume more than 1,200 kBTU per year. I mean, they're banning gas stoves. That's, the Democrats want to ban your gas stove, and then they wonder why they lost. Democrats, you ever think that maybe the reason you lost in 2024 is because you're trying to ban gas stoves? I mean, this is outrageous. Of course, restaurant owners are not real happy with it. And Republicans successfully pushed back on this. The Biden administration eventually watered down these bans on gas stoves. So now they're only banning 3% of the gas stove models rather than half of them. The Democrats wanted to ban half of all the gas stoves out there. So, but then Republicans, and of course, when it says, oh, the Republicans pushed back on this and it got watered down. No, the American people did. You just call it the American people. The American people were the ones that said, no, we don't want some unelected bureaucrat or even the elected president of the United States telling us what kind of gas stove we can have in Montana. But then the most ridiculous, of course, light bulbs. Light bulbs, folks. We're paying taxes to the federal government. We're sending all of this money to the federal government in D.C. It's supposed to be used for post offices and the Army and the Navy. It's being used to try to tell us what kind of light bulbs we can have and not have. The Biden administration doubled the efficiency standard for light bulbs, requiring light bulb manufacturers to raise the levels for light bulbs from 45 lumens a watt to more than 120 lumens a watt, 170% increase. What this means, only LED light bulbs are allowed now. The Biden administration and the Democrats wanted to ban all light bulbs except LED. I mean, it is just so absurd. The federal government under Biden said this will be, but if we eliminate all light bulbs except LED, this will save us, carbon dioxide emissions. Sorry, just simply not willing to give up my basic freedoms and my basic notions of liberty of what kind of a light bulb I want to have. Simply not willing to give that freedom up. Sorry, federal government. This rule would have banned even most currently available LEDs off the market, and it would have almost doubled the price of a light bulb from $3 to $6. I mean, everything these Democrats do in government, it seems to increase the prices of things. We wonder where this inflation is coming from. Well, maybe some of this inflation is, we actually know for a fact that a lot of the inflation is coming from government regulations. In fact, here in Billings, here locally in Montana, in lots of other states as well, a significant portion of the cost to build a house within a city is due to government regulations and government rules and regulations. You've got these building codes in place. And I think the last I heard out of the HBA here was that I think $80,000, don't quote me on this, I think $80,000 of the cost of a new home in Billings is strictly due to city regulations, city code requirements. And so I bring that example because it's the same thing with these light bulbs. These Democrats want to put in all these rules and regulations, but the problem is they cause house prices to be $80,000 higher. They cause your light bulb cost to go from $3 to $6. I think this is a big reason why the American people reject the Democrats. We're sick of the price increases. We're sick of paying for all of this stuff. We don't want to pay all of this extra for meaningless garbage, for no benefit whatsoever. We don't want to pay $80,000 more for a new house in Billings just so that the house can say it's code compliant when these codes are ridiculous and totally unnecessary and totally meaningless. We don't want to double the price for our light bulbs when it's going to have no impact whatsoever on anything, including global warming or the climate. Even if it's true, anything we did with our light bulbs would be totally offset by all the new coal power plants in China and India. But never mind the fact that CO2 is not dangerous. All right. Furnaces are number five. Ceiling fans are number six. I'm done with the appliances, though. We're done talking appliances.
The holidays aren't about where you're going. They're about the moments you share along the way. Experience the joy of connection at the Lincoln Wishlist Sales Event. Right now, visit your local Lincoln retailer or Lincoln.com to find exclusive holiday offers on current and past Lincoln models. Let's make more connections and more joy this season.
Fox News commentary.
First Lady Jill Biden has a naughty list and Nancy and Kamala are at the top. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for the book club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
It's an open secret. First Lady Jill Biden was not happy with how the Democrat Party pushed her husband under the bus. And according to reports from White House insiders to the Daily Mail, Jill is ready for revenge. Sources close to the first family say Jill is especially bitter towards Nancy Pelosi for her role in the Democrat coup. At the annual Kennedy Center Honors held earlier this month in D.C., it was notable how far away the Pelosi sat from the president and first lady. Jill is also furious with VP Kamala, but that's nothing new. But now, insiders suggest Jill is pushing her husband to go scorched earth on the party in his remaining weeks in office. The Hunter Biden pardon was just the tip of the iceberg. The first lady reportedly wants Joe to burn the whole thing down despite his better judgment, which is rather interesting given Joe has already spent the last 4 years burning it down. The economy, border security, national security, and everything else he's torched is already up in flames. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly sunny today. High near 48. Tonight, the clouds move in with a slight chance of seeing some rain developing late. Low near 33. High of 48 on Christmas Day. Lots of clouds. Occasional sun. Slight chance of seeing some rain early in the day. Wednesday night, clear to partly cloudy, low near 27. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
David Noble, guest host for Aaron Flint. Super excited to have a live show December 24th and the 30th and the 31st. Aaron's got another great guest host coming in on the 26th and the 27th. But you might think this would be a slow news period, folks, but there is a lot going on, a lot to talk about. We'll have phone lines open the entire time. If you want to find me online, you can find me on X at LectureFan, LCTRFAN, on YouTube and Twitch at
SystemWorks, BillingsLastDiet.com.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Got a message here from Cameron in Billings. Cameron, thanks for the message here. Cameron says, they can keep the incandescent light bulb banned, though. I don't appreciate losing power when one bulb goes out. He also says, why don't they go after the corporations who are spending all our energy on their giant server and AI farms? Oh, wait, because they get paid from those corporations. Thank you, Cameron in Billings. I'd go back to the incandescent light bulbs if it was up to me, but I certainly understand not wanting to lose power when one bulb goes out. Did you hear about this? Trump wants to change the name of Mount Denali back to Mount McKinley. Of course, it's always been Mount McKinley to me. I don't like the idea of changing. This could have been a woke update of the week back in 2015, by the way, because Barack Obama changed the name of the mountain in 2015 to try to be more woke. This says President-elect Trump on Sunday said he wants to change the name of the highest mountain in North America from Denali back to Mount McKinley. Trump made the suggestion Sunday in a speech at Turning Point USA's America Fest. He mentioned former President William McKinley as a supporter of tariffs, which Trump obviously loved. Tariffs, the most beautiful word in the English language. Trump said, William McKinley, the 25th president of the U.S., the vast sums of money that he brought into our country, the person really who got us the money that President Roosevelt used to build the Panama Canal and a lot of other things. McKinley was a very good, maybe a great president. They took his name off Mount McKinley, right? That's what they do to people. But President McKinley was the president that was responsible for creating a vast sum of money in the U.S. that Teddy Roosevelt then spent. So let's say that they were both excellent presidents, but McKinley did that. And that's one of the reasons that we're going to bring back the name of Mount McKinley, because I think he deserves it. I think he deserves it. There are lots of things we can name, but I think he deserves it. That was not very gracious to somebody that did a good job. Renamed Denali in 2015 by Obama. And it's like, look, it's like you can name it Mount McKinley and then you can recognize and respect and appreciate that it was called Denali by the indigenous folks. There's nothing wrong with that. But to take the name off, take McKinley off is just virtue signaling. It's just that was woke virtue signaling by Obama in 2015. Democrats love to do stuff like that where it doesn't provide any actual tangible benefit. But it looks good. That's classic virtue signaling. Hey, look how good I am. Look how virtuous I am. I changed the name from McKinley to Denali. It cost me nothing. There was no risk associated with it. It provides no benefits to the actual people of Alaska. But yeah, look at me. I'm so cool and nice. I don't think so. You know, Caden asked, do you think the Redskins' name may be put back? I don't think so, just because I don't think Donald Trump is going to have much influence on that. Although I did see recently a story, I don't know if you caught this, Caden, but Senator Daines, actually, I can't remember if he had the artist or a family member of the artist, but I'm pretty sure that the logo of the Washington Redskins is associated with the Blackfeet tribe, and I want to even say was drawn by a member of the Blackfeet tribe or something like that. I did see an article about Senator Daines doing something to basically kind of memorialize that artist and memorialize the logo of the Redskins and kind of just respect it. I'll have to try to dig that up and get more clarity on it. I think you're going to see a lot of stuff at the federal government level be undone. You know, everything that Biden accomplished, and frankly, a lot of the stuff that Obama accomplished. And we're going to get Greenland in the Panama Canal. Wouldn't that be great? United States, I would love to see that. No, I don't want it. It doesn't need to be done militarily. It needs to be done with the consent of everybody involved, et cetera, et cetera. But it really would be a benefit. I know that the people of Greenland want closer economic ties with the USA.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
As we march ahead through the 2020s, perhaps it's time to cast back 15 years and see where we thought things were going back then. Montana State University's Project 2030, published in 2010, took a look at where trends in population and demographics were taking Montana. Had the broad conclusions of that study been more closely read and heeded, some of the loud debates taking place today over things like housing and property taxes might be a bit quieter. The MSU's economists projected a future for Montana where demographic trends delivered a population of taxpayers that was increasingly asset-rich and income-poor, taken at a time when pressure on state budgets from things like pensions and Medicaid were pushing up the need for revenue. That made dependence on a property tax, levied against the value of property, but paid for out of income, more and more problematic. The years that have followed the report have borne out the wisdom of those projections. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.